people of Earth. The following podcast is more not real than a horse kick to the face is not ticklish. Forgive me for this. My recent performance review said my disinterest in the product was palpable and off-putting. Who's ready for some hot podcast lightning to be shot into your ears via the battering ram of joy? You're about to be subjected to so many rich character choices. You'll barely even notice we've got about as much of a story arc as Cloud Atlas. Now, sit that hot caramel fun pillow down into your chair. This is exhausting. And prepare to have your face melted by your white-hot enjoyment of this show! Exclamation points!
Hello from the Magic Tavern, a weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the podcast before, this is everything you need to know. Over 10 and a half years ago, I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical, fantastical land of Foon. Luckily, I'm still getting a Wi-Fi signal through the dimensional rift, and I used that to upload a podcast recorded here in the tavern, the Ruffled Feather, in McShingleshane Forest, on the outskirts of Hog's Face, in the magical land of Foon. And I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Chunt the Talking Badger.
Bing bong.
Hey, oh, that was quite a fast bing bong. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, do you want me to slow it down?
No, I guess maybe I'm just... Look, something about me is that I'm always parsing for micro expressions and just subtle ways people are saying their catchphrases differently. I just noticed that you did a bing bong, like a fast bing bong. Oh. Just checking on you and thinking like, oh no, is he mad at me? Did he say it so fast because he's mad at me?
Arnie, I have to admit, I'm mad at you.
Oh shit, I knew it.
What is it's about? Just, I don't know how to put this. Arnie, at this very table, typically I sit where you're currently sitting and you sit over here.
Oh.
It just feels a little passive-aggressive to sit where I sit.
Oh.
You know, we've never talked about seats, I guess.
Sure.
But I guess for 10-odd-some years, I've always sat right there, so I guess I'm just curious what's going on this morning.
Oh.
Are you okay?
Oh, I am. I guess I'm just a little... I've been working so hard to try to figure out this thing about trying to get Earth people here in Foon. You know, we've made up these t-shirts. I'm moving to Foon. Hey, listeners, it's a great holiday season gift for your parents who will have no idea what it means. And I guess I'm working on that so hard that I didn't even notice where I sat down.
And it's totally fine. I mean, hey, after 10 years, we should shake things up. Wouldn't it be fascinating if we all sat in different seats for a recording? I think that's a kind of fun, new kind of content, new angles that listeners would appreciate. Arnie, are you listening?
What's that? No, I'm sorry. I'm just thinking.
Are you mad at me?
I'm thinking about these shirts. No, I'm not mad at you. I'm just, it's worse, actually. I'm just not thinking about you right now, and I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's fine. If I could maybe help you with your thing, if that helps alleviate some amount of, your stress. What if we had Usador magic these shirts, so the minute someone puts them on, it sort of sucks them into Foon?
Oh, well, that would be incredible. I feel like that's not a promise we should make on the podcast. How about this?
You don't think I can do it? I am one of the greatest wizards who has ever lived, and my magical power could certainly suck people right off of Earth.
Don't say it like that.
Are you mad at us?
Of course.
Phew.
Okay, well, I'm also joined by my other co-host, Usador the Wizard.
I am Usador, Wizard of the 12th Realm of Ephesius, Master of Life and Shadow, Manipulator of Magical Delights, Devourer of Chaos, Champion of the Great Halls of Tarakas. The elves know me as Fianyalak. The dwarves know me as Zonan and Hoogstanges, and I am known throughout the Northeast as Gasmanius Maystar. And there is no feat so great that Usador cannot accomplish it with magic.
Did he say Devourer of Chaos?
I was thinking about these shirts. I wasn't even listening to what he was saying.
No, I said it. I've kind of pushed through it. I was Devourer of Chaos. It was kind of fast.
It's kind of like my bing bong.
It's a little bit like your bing bong. It's more of a succinct bong.
A succinct bong. Do we gotta have a succinct bong in the merch store just as a?
Ooh, yeah, that might be kind of nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like one little hit and you're high.
Yeah.
Unlike those other bongs.
Ugh. So wasteful.
It's a real long walk.
Mm-hmm. Usador, what have you been up to this week?
I've been contriving ways to defeat all of the forces of evil. Oh, how I sit and I plot and I wonder and I ponder and I go, would that destroy evil? Probably not. And then I sit and I think for a while longer about something else, and I go, that's it. That's not it either. And then I go, aha, that's the thing. And then I go, no, wait.
What if we made shirts that when evil put them on, it, like, killed them?
Ooh.
Well, I feel like we should be making
more
shirts.
You're saying more shirt-based magic is what you're saying.
Yeah, it feels like shirts are just an opportunity to do a lot of things.
Yeah, I'm loving everything you're saying, Chunt. The only thing is I don't want to accidentally, like, send people the wrong shirts. Like, I don't want to get the wires crossed and we're accidentally killing our listeners and teleporting evil people to us.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'm totally into it. And in fact, I'm willing to commit to a sacred promise that we'll do an episode where we magically bring people with our shirts onto the podcast. At least like one, like a pop-in from one or two, just to see how it goes.
Yeah.
But let's make sure we get the magic right before we do it.
Get them. That's Arnie. Mwah, bless your heart. Get the magic right. I think that's our motto for the next few months.
Sure. Let me write that
get
down.
Get the magic right.
Now, if we're worried about the shirts being crossed, we could make a shirt that says, "This shirt is for evil." And then when you put it on, it doesn't fit right.
Ooh.
You think you ordered a 2XL, and it's really just a medium.
Huh.
And evil will look like fools.
Oh, my goddesses, that's brilliant. And maybe like the armholes are like in the chest and the back. So they're trying to put it on. They're like, what the fuck?
What a bunch of morons.
They're like, what the fuck? They're
I
putting
love
their arm through their, you know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck?
I love everything you're saying. The only thing is, what about the side effect? If some people, maybe they put on a little weight or something and their shirts don't fit, suddenly they're like, oh shit, if I turned evil?
Oh. Didn't think about that. Man, there's a lot of angst.
Just with great shirts comes great responsibility. We just have to think these things through. We've got to get the magic right. Guys, I'm sorry. I know we could talk about these shirts for hours, but
okay,
let's do it.
Are we committing to a whole shirt talk episode? Is that what this is? With no guest?
Shirt talk.
I know. I'm just saying. There's this very striking woman over by the bar. Excuse me.
Shooting the shirt. That might be a better name for it.
Ma'am, Miss
Arnie. Arnie, you're the guest again.
Arnie, she's out of your league.
Hello. Oh.
Hello. Would you mind joining us here at this very table?
I was you know, pondering to myself, grieving a little bit, if you will, in my solitude. I did notice you three gentlemen talking a lot about shirts.
Yes.
And I suppose I could do with the company.
Ooh.
Enchanté.
Please take my seat. I'll sit in a different chair today.
Thank you so much.
This chair is so much lower than my normal chair.
Oh. Lady Dowager.
Oh, hello. Nice to meet you, Lady Dowager.
Hello. Yes, you might not be able to tell through the veil, but I'm sure my regal bearing, people comment on it.
So, yes, you have a veil kind of mostly obscuring your face. Is there,
yes.
Do you mind me asking what that's all about?
I'm sure you might have been able to tell from, as I said, my regal bearing. I'm Lady Dowager, a 4-time winner of FMEW.
FMEW?
Arnie.
Oh, that's sweet. You don't know. Foon's most eligible widow.
Arnie, everyone knows FMEW, Foon's most eligible widow.
Arnie, you've never heard of the F-Muse?
I've never. No, Foon's most eligible widow. And I imagine that must be what you're grieving.
Yes, I'm grieving the loss of my dear departed most recent husband. And, you know, just so much to think about death, the after, the gray, the void.
Void.
When you think about it that way, do you want to think about shirts or do you want to think about death? Which would I pick?
Yeah, what kind of shirt would you want to be buried in?
Strangely,
that's
no
great.
One ever asks me this question, but it would be a shirt where I think the holes were in a place where they shouldn't be.
Oh. Well, Arnie.
Okay,
who had a good
holes
idea.
Were in a place where, like, you'd imagine the holes would be in a certain place, but then they're not in that place.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck?
You're sort of throwing death an insult back in its face. So you took me out. Now I'm dead? Look at me. I'm not even wearing a proper shirt, idiot death.
Yes. Suck on that, I Reaper, see. As we say. And also, as someone who's been to my fair share of very, sure. very sad funerals, you know, if it's going to be an open casket, you got to give them a show.
That's true.
Sure. Yes.
You got to give. Otherwise, it's like, what was it for? What was, you know, when you go to an open casket and it's just like, a guy looking the same as, you know, you knew him your whole life. Like, wouldn't you want your money back a little bit?
Of course.
Absolutely.
Do you pay to go to these funerals? Is that what you're suggesting? You'd want your money back?
You don't pay when you go to a funeral, Arnie?
I mean, I guess sometimes you give money, but...
You don't pay?
We don't.
You think they put those things on for free?
There's not. Well, no, it's very expensive, but the people who come... to pay their respects. I guess they say pay their respects, but it's just...
It's right in the name.
It's right in the name, Arnie.
How do you get past the security guard?
Security guards?
Yes.
You don't have security at your funerals? Anyone could just come in?
I guess so.
Wow.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm sure all the bodies are getting robbed.
Terrible. Oh, people just rob bodies, like, during the funeral?
I mean, most of the time, if they're doing a good open casket, then you want to rob it.
So they're, like, blinged out bodies.
Arnie, you have to contact Reaper Master. You have to get your ticket for the funeral. You have to go through security. They have to see if you have any weapons on you. You have to make sure that you pay all the fees. And if you want a concession while you're there, you're going to pay through the nose for that.
Is there any way to put on a funeral? And look, I'm saying you still want to charge people for the funeral, but can you get around Reaper Master? Because those fees are exorbitant, right?
They're kind of the only game in town. I mean, you could buy tickets directly from the dead body, but that's pretty rare for someone to set that up beforehand to have the foresight, I guess. Yeah. Some future seers, I guess. Some fortune tellers.
There used to be Grave Hub, but I think they got bought by Reaper Master.
Yeah. Unlife Nation, I think, was also one.
And, of course, if there's no security in place, like, you know, who's going to make sure that you don't go in with over, you know, under 100 milliquarts of liquid on you? You're not allowed to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
No, not absolutely not.
Liquid around a dead body, Arnie?
No, thank you.
People walking in who had qualms with the deceased in their life, just coming in with liquids to throw in their dead faces.
A lot of people just pouring liquids.
My dear boy, I'm starting to think you've never been to a funeral.
I guess I have. I mean, I've seen a lot of people die here in Foon. I guess I haven't been to any funerals now that I think about it.
Oh, no, you've never been invited to... it's kind of like, you know, we call it death parties. Death parties. Death fates. Death fates.
No.
Death fates. Oh, death very
fate.
Fun.
We say death fate.
Now, lady, I couldn't help but notice. Is your first name Lady, or is Lady Dowager a title?
My first name is Lady.
Lady, may I ask, being overly familiar, you mentioned this was your most recent husband who passed away. You've been married before then.
Some people say, 7 times, 8 times, 9 times. Who's counting, really? I mean, who's...
You'd think if anyone was.
I think people who say that are the ones who are counting.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, I find that people who count spouses are people who've never truly fallen, you know, gotten swept up in the moment of love.
True. You know? Mm-hmm. But that is beautiful. Because you just love so much you don't even...
I love so fiercely. It's like a deep, stinging, burning inside my being. Mm. You know, right from the tip of my veil to the... bottom of my anus, how deep the love is. And when you're feeling a burning like that, what are you going to think about, what, 3 spouses ago?
No,
that's rude.
No. Marriage ain't nothing but a number, I always say.
Marriage,
you should get that checked out.
Number.
That's my only.
And, you know, I have so deeply loved all of my spouses. Is it my fault that a series of unfortunate events has occurred?
I just want to express my deepest sympathies for all 7, 8, or 9 of your losses.
Thank you. Yes.
And I'm just putting something together. You said you're 4-time winner of Foon's most eligible widow?
Trademark, yes.
So you've won this, like, after 4 of the 6, 7, or 8 widowings. Is that how you
yes, I mean one actually is so gauche. I don't consider it a win. I do it for the love of professional widowery.
Sure. Oh, I see.
Yeah, respect for the grief, respect for the stoicism.
It's the craft.
It's the craft. Not everyone can do it.
It's an honor just to be widowed. Is that what you're saying?
It is absolutely an honor to be widows. I don't know how it is where you hail from, but widows are lots of perks.
Well, I'd love to hear what some of those perks are.
Oh, if you go to a park, people have to give you a bench. Mm-hmm. Have to give you a bench. Doesn't matter what's happening on the bench. They have to give you the bench.
Wow.
You can usually park your horse wherever you want.
You can park your horse wherever you want. If you're in nature and the animals are being, like, say, the birds are tweeting too loud, they have to be quiet.
Oh, wow.
If you ask them to.
I love birds.
Also, for some reason, free produce.
No.
Free
produce. I
didn't
know that one.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's nice. Now, I can't help but notice that your black veil that you wear in honor of your recently deceased husband.
Yes.
I can't help but notice that it's reversible and that it's white on the other side.
Yes. Well, what it is, you know, sometimes love takes you so quickly, Usador. It just sweeps you off your feet and turns you upside down, and then you're falling down a hill of love backwards, and you tumble right into a marriage altar. What would you know?
Wonderful.
And then you have to be ready. You have to be ready, and you know, dry cleaning, getting the veil washed is no inexpensive business.
Sure. Well, and why have two veils when you can have one that works for both occasions?
Yeah. For both things, it's a marriage veil. It's a funeral veil. It's actually a microfiber, so you can use it to dust things.
Oh.
So when you're cleaning up the house with the veil, do you take it off and use it in your hand, or do you just kind of like wipe your face along things?
You see, as a widow, I am constantly grieving. So
sure.
It's sort of like if you see a dirty thing, you just cry over it.
And
then the veil is there.
Mm-hmm. So you like crumple to the ground in grief, and while you're there, you just kind of rub your face along the floorboards a little
constantly. It's amazing I'm standing at all.
Yes.
And the veil also, you know, it also, as you can see, it's going right now from my forehead to my knees, standard veil length, standard
sure.
issue.
From the forehead to the knees.
Yes.
It's a catchy
forehead
song,
to the knees. From the forehead to the knees.
Mm-hmm. It's a catchy, there's a lot of slogans for veils. Veils are pretty popular right now.
Yeah.
You didn't finish the song. From the forehead to the knees. Skeet, skeet, I'm in my grief. That is the traditional widow's wail, we call it. And, you know, if you hitch it down just a little, actually it makes quite a fetching dress.
Oh.
You just pop that whole thing down a little bit, just past the clavicle, fetching dress.
Yes, you're prepared for any occasion, it seems.
Any occasion.
Can I ask Lady Dowager, what has been I hope this isn't an insensitive question, what's the fastest turnover time between, you know, leaving a funeral and just being at another wedding?
I mean, we have a saying in the widow community, every funeral is a wedding with the wrong playlist. That is what we say. I
know that, you know, there's an old adage that whenever the goddesses close a door, they open a widow.
They do.
And I feel like this new version, I think, is a lot more apropos of, like, modern-day widows.
Yes. I mean, I think widows can have it all, really. I know there's a lot of talk about, like, widows can't have it all, but we absolutely can have it all. You can be in your grief. You can be in your stoicism. Uh-huh. You can be hitching the dress down past your clavicle. You can be meeting people. You can be falling backwards down the hill of love. You can be getting married again. You can have dalliances in between. It's all, you know, you can do it all. It's just, it's really down to multitasking.
I hate to be technical, but the one thing you can't have is your dead husband.
No. No. And that does...
Well, you could, but it'd be gauche.
Yeah. It
I'm
would
sorry,
be
gross.
Gross.
It would be gauche. On that note, let's take a quick break. We have some Grosh sponsors. Lady Dowager, I have a question for you.
Do ask.
We're in a magical land, and again, I don't know if this is... I feel like every question I want to ask, there's a risk of it being insensitive, so I'm just going to apologize in advance for all my questions.
To be fair, I'm in a regular land. I think you're in a magical land.
Oh, I guess that's true. It's magical for me.
That's the vibe I'm getting from you.
I've been telling him that for 10 years.
We keep trying to clarify, but he insists.
Yes. I would say a man who doesn't avail himself of his liquids before going into a death fate. That's the magic to me.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Have any of your dead husbands magically come back to life?
Ooh.
Oh, you know, sometimes you hear the chains rattling. You know, you hear the... You go to sleep at night, the wind blows through the curtains. You hear a moan. You know, you think, oh, that might be... What is it? Is it the wind outside? Is it a stray cat? Sounds something like, yeah, I should never have drunk that cup of wine you gave me. But who's to really say? What are they? I think it's probably cats.
Hmm. Yes, sometimes you hear voices on the wind. It could mean anything. And it's not necessarily a ghost saying, "Why did you get married before my funeral was even over?"
Yes, that sounds like exactly the kind of I think livestock outside the window could say things like, you know, why did you not sign that prenuptial agreement before the nuptials?
Now, lady, how many, if you had to ballpark it, how many of your dead husbands died from glasses of wine?
Oh, again, as I said, I don't keep track of.
Sure.
I am so in the moment. So who knows how many husbands there are? I mean, hypothetically, if there, people say 4 to 5.
But
you know, they weren't there. They weren't there. So
yeah. And of those 4 to 5, how many of those glasses were given to them by you?
I mean, if you're asking if I was a loving spouse who would hand give my spouses their cups of wine, I will not shirk from that. I'm not ashamed of that. No, sir. Wow. I will hand them their glasses of wine, kiss them on the forehead, say, I love you, darling. And then, is it my fault that 3 out of 4 of them had a reaction to it, and John didn't have a reaction. He didn't have a reaction, and then, oh, whoopsie, he just got in the path of that rampaging carriage. Oh, dear. is that my fault?
Lady Dowager, you answer these questions so expertly, as if you've been asked them many times before, sometimes in a court of law.
Oh, well, you know, no comment.
Sure. You always cross-examine yourself, which is refreshing.
Yes, well, you know, there's a lot of time alone when you're in grief. A lot of time to talk to yourself, go, how are you doing? How are you holding up? Where did you say you were again last night? Let's say that again to ourselves.
Let's get our story straight, that kind of thing.
You see, Arnie, the constables became tired of having to ask so many widows about what had happened that they started Foon's Most Eligible Widow Contest as a way to ask widows questions in a more fun and inviting way. So you come in, you tell them what your talent is, maybe you sing 16 bars of a song, and then you explain everything you did the night of your husband's murder.
Yes.
Or death.
And there's a science round also.
They did add a science round after the first year, after a lot of complaints.
Round. Yes. It's all about, you know, like, you can't just be only asking women about their husbands.
Right.
It's a little grosh.
Now, lady, I'm looking at your dance card here, and it seems that you were married up until the day before the F-Muse every year that you won it. I guess I assumed when you said you'd won several times, it was all right in a row, but it was, but I had assumed that you were a widow that whole time. It seems like you were married right before. Oh, she's fainting.
I'm sorry. It's just the memory. It's such a, it's really one of the more dark periods of my, you see how the veil can be used to fan oneself back after a fainting spell. It was the worst of luck every year on year, just short of completing a year of marriage.
Yeah.
And tragedy strikes
to
again.
To become a widow right before the F-Muse.
I mean, do you think I want? Of course I didn't want it. Of course I didn't.
Yeah.
I want what every woman wants, to grow old with the spouse she married and slowly see them, you know, turn into someone you don't fully recognize and aren't really that attracted to anyway, and they're wasting, you know, their time on horseshoes for the horses. That's what they're spending their money on. They've got like a horseshoe collection. Who does a horseshoe collection? And you're like, oh, and you see the horseshoes and you're like, oh God, they're heavy. And I have good shoulders. I could just say, you know, when he's turned around, I could just, and, you know, so, I mean, who doesn't want that?
I want to grow old with the spouse. Arnie, did you hear her? Romance isn't dead.
And, you know, they're very, sure. It's, as the vows go here in Foon, I now pronounce you married for, you know, however long you want. Death, no obstacle. So...
Death, no obstacle.
Death, no obstacle.
Yes, well, I had forgotten that part of the wedding vows. And you know what that reminds me is that if death is no obstacle, then aren't you continuing to be married to these gentlemen long past their death dates?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in my heart, absolutely. Aww. Absolutely in my heart. I am a... raving polygamist.
What? quick, I can see you're getting the vapors again.
Veil.
Yes. Quickly, some water for this widow with the vapors.
Thank you for not lifting the veil. People are very intrigued by a widow's jawline.
Oh, yes. That does make me want to ask. And I don't want you to do anything you're not comfortable with. I just want the information. Like, who gets to ever see your face? Is it, do you have to marry you to get to see your face? Or just catch you during a rare period of time when you're not widowed?
Well, I have not been not widowed for, yes, in a marriage phase, a spouse may see your face. And, if you're just like, it's like a, well, like a date, like a date. Like if you're, oh, on, okay. If you're like on a date, you can... You get, you know, you meet this person in the stable, new stable hand, looking good. They can see your face.
So you like the stable boy that here at the inn, here at the tavern?
Rian. Yes,
that's the one.
Yes. He's an energetic boy.
Energetic.
Yes.
And built like a brick shithouse.
Oh my God! Yes, let me tell you. I climbed that one like a redwood.
Oh, wow, like a redwood.
Yes.
That's almost
course,
too much.
You must understand, the veil was off at the time. So it's kind of like a veil, when the veil's off.
Mm-hmm. You can't work 24 hours a day, 8 days a week.
No, you can't. I mean, and really, it's like what a widow does in her private... A widow's time is her own.
Yeah, what a widow does...
Who a widow does in her private time.
Yeah,
is
exactly.
Her own private queendom. And, yeah. You know, it's like, so it's very much like a hall pass. Veil off, tits out, we say.
Oh, did you say sure. A hall pass? No,
a hall pass, yes.
Oh, a hall pass.
No, not a hall pass.
Of course, I was being crass. I thought you said
like
a hall pass.
Like you're in the hole of grief and you cut the hole pass.
Yes,
a pass to come out of the hole of grief. Yes.
That's what we were all thinking.
Yes. But that's the only other, the rest of the time, it is solemn contemplation.
Sure, of course.
Grief.
Lady Dowager, can I ask if you have a husband die and it doesn't win you an award, is there a feeling of like, oh shit, that was a wasted one? I mean, I just know that it seems like you've had more deaths than awards. There have to have been a couple.
Oh, the competition actually didn't start till I was on husband 4-6. So as was mentioned, when, you know, the investigations of widows had to take a new... Like a new format, and I mean, can you imagine going to all the trouble of your husband accidentally dying and then not being eligible? I mean, can you imagine that would be
so
enough to make you kill watch tragedy befall him all over again?
When is the next awards? I guess I don't know what time of year these awards happen.
Oh, excellent question. It's always third harvest moon of the year. Third harvest moon of the year, so that should be next Tuesday.
Oh, yes, and your husband just passed away very recently, correct?
Yes, it was. It was terrible. You probably heard about it. We were going for a walk in the park, and then he sort of clutched his chest. He started coughing. He couldn't. He didn't seem to quite realize that something was going on, but he grabbed my hand really hard and he was coughing. And then and then he coughed and a piece of food came out of his mouth, and then he was fine, and then he tripped backwards onto my knife. Oh dear.
Oh my goodness.
Well, wow. You'd hardly blame yourself. Lady should never leave the house without a knife.
That's just basic safety.
And I will say that is incredibly sad. I mean, incredibly sad. I don't want to, you know, diminish what you went through. I will say this year, just kind of recently, I heard about what happened to Meryl Weeps. And Meryl Weeps, the way she lost her husband, it feels like she has the FMU in the bag this year. Not that it's a competition. Mm-hmm. I guess it is.
Technically, yeah, it is.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Pretty much actually exactly.
Yeah, it just feels like maybe, I don't know if this is your year. It sounds like Meryl Weeps has this kind of wrapped up.
I mean, you know, Meryl Weeps is, she's a dear friend. We've been consoling each other in our griefs, you know. We've had some veils down time together.
Nobody cries like Meryl Weeps.
Nobody cries like Meryl Weeps. And, you know, they do say that, like, she really can do it all. I know they say that about Meryl Weeps. Triple threat.
Stab, shove, and poison.
Comedy. And even with the veil, you're always like, how old is she, actually? Like, I can't, like, how old is she?
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Meryl is a dear friend, and she certainly goes for a flashier, you know, it was a flashy death. The judges going to be taken by, slipped on a banana peel, fell backwards into a wood chipper? I don't know. But, you know, sometimes it's good to look beyond the flash.
Sure.
The classic. Sometimes it's Meryl has had a 3 to 5 husbands, and you know, sometimes I would say it really is quantity over quality. That's what they say. I believe it's quantity over quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'd actually heard that there's a lot of competition this year. I've also heard good things about Lady Glenn Closed Coffin.
Yes, and she, her husband's late dogs. She turned them all into a big coat as a sign of her grief, and that was very, very well played. It was by Glenn, but you know what? I think the board, the judging panel, you know, they often surprise you. You know, people always think it's going to go one way, and then it goes to Bemma Bone. It's gone to, you know, go to Bemma Bone.
And you saw her, not to tell tales out of school, but aren't you a judge this year for the FMUs?
Oh, yes, I'm quite honored to be serving upon the board, picking this year's most eligible widow. I think it's an important duty that I serve here in Foon. I'm just doing my part for king and country.
Please have a seat here next to me.
Yes,
please. Would you care for some veil?
I don't know if that's appropriate under the circumstances, but all right.
Is falling all over it.
Oh, yeah.
A widow's veil is her own to give as she will. So, yes, you sure might, I say, you are looking like an extremely salient judge of grief today.
Thank you. I've often believed that my demeanor as a powerful wizard, aged and decrepit though as I seem in my human form, I am a perfect person to peer inside the human heart and say that one is the one who is truly sad about the loss of their husband. And when I look upon you, Lady Dowager, I know that your grief is most real and most profound. I can tell by the way you're tearing into that bucket of chicken wings.
Yes, I'm just so, you know, it was Ralph's favorite dish, and I'm just oh my god, is there actually sauce with this? Because it's a bit dry.
Can we get some sauce over here for the grieving widow?
Yes,
please.
You do have, may I say, you have a decrepit sheen about you that reminds me of, you know, all 1 to 12 of my late darlings. So, you know,
as much as I would love to be your next dead husband, I must inform you that I have sworn an oath to defeat evil and Foon. Therefore, I shan't take a wife until I complete this quest.
An unmarriageable man, the widow's bane.
Well, it looks like they brought five increasing levels of spiciness sauces for these wings. So why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back, Arnie, why don't we ask some sad ones? Questions, I mean.
Arnie, Chunt.
Yeah.
I know I sort of skirted the issue of becoming the next Mr. Lady Dowager because I'm 300.
I think you should take her name. That's, I do agree. Whoa.
Shut up. I'm 350. I'm 355 years old, and I'm not immortal anymore. I don't want to die when I haven't defeated evil. So I just said some stuff about, you know, I have an oath not to get married. And yes, I asked Jin Levy to marry me about 17 times, and of course she always said no because she was busy that day. And I was like, we don't have to do it today. We'd actually plan a thing. She'd be like, I'm busy that day too. I was like, we didn't say a day. We didn't pick a day. And she'd be like, whatever day it is, I'm busy. What was I talking about?
I don't. Well, you're probably safe if you don't marry her. Although I do wonder, do the judges in this competition ever get murdered? Especially if they're ones that the...
All the time.
Okay. So yeah.
All the time. It just a lot of them either get murdered a lot of them get married. And then they die mysteriously before the next Foon's Most Eligible Widow.
Sure.
Oh, look at Lady Dowager. She's across the bar with Alex the Appraiser. She's having your wand and your potions appraised. That is so sweet of her.
What's going on?
Wow.
Where'd she even get those?
Lady Dowager, over here.
Oh, hello. Yes, excuse me. Yes, I'll be right back. Yes, call me. Call me. Yeah. Hi. Hello. Yes, Usador.
Yes.
How do you take your wine?
Oh, well, I drink only the thickest and stoutest of wines. A good thick port.
A Winness. You like a glass of Winness?
Yes, of course.
Right. You know, you and I should get a glass of Winness sometime. You,
ooh.
Me, the barkeep that I just met.
That would be delightful. I find you to be quite charming and very urbane and well-spoken, and I'm sure you know about a lot of different topics. We could spend a lot of time talking about my interest. For instance, I've started collecting frogs lately.
That is fascinating.
Ah, you see, Arnie and Trunt told me it wasn't fascinating, that I was stupid for doing it.
Frogs, oh, what every woman in the prime of her life longs for. I think that's such an interesting hobby. Such an interesting hobby.
Well, thank you.
Just curious, no reason at all. I've heard poison frogs.
Well, yes, some of them are very poisonous if you lick them or touch their skin. You have to be very careful around them.
And do you keep them somewhere like in a crate or somewhere with a key? Where's the key? Like, where would the key be?
Oh, yes. Well, of course, I keep them in a crate with a key. And the key is, of course, safely in my lockbox that I keep next to my bed, which, you know, you can't get into unless you are spending the night over there.
Whoa, okay, careful, Usador. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
Good.
You almost fell right into that knife while seated.
That
knife attached to this hand that kind of disappears behind your back towards Lady Dowager.
I'm so sorry. It's my security knife. It just.
Understood.
It's kind of like an emotional security knife.
Sure.
I travel with it all the time because, you know, sometimes it's just a little overwhelming and you got to have your security knife.
Arnie and Foon, if you are traveling anywhere by carriage or by magic, could be a portal, you're allowed to take weapons with you if they kind of mean a lot to you.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do people ever lie? People ever just want to take the knife and they're like, I need this security knife.
I don't think people would do that. I mean, I guess technically they could, but I don't think anybody in Foon would do that.
Okay.
Plus that the weapon needs to wear a special little vest.
Oh.
And if you don't, I mean, if you don't take it with you, it goes in a set, you know, separate compartment. It's kind of cold down there. You don't know how the knife is doing. And then you're like, why did I even get a knife? Like, you know, I was just bored that weekend. I am so, so sorry that any harm may have befallen your person. I would not want that to happen before we say the vows.
Of course.
Go. for
sorry?
A drink. Before we go for a drink. Before we go for a drink.
Oh, okay.
You said Winnis, yes?
Yes.
Lady Dowager, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt this love connection that's happening here, but is there any kind of prize for, or is it just the title? Is it just the pride of the title, or do you win things?
Well, it's mostly for the pride, it's for the respect, really. Mm-hmm. As I said, I'm not in it for the winning, I'm in it for mm-hmm. the love of celebrating that I've had so many loves. So it's really for the title, and you know, they give you some flowers, which is symbolic of your grief Ooh. And of your win, and that's kind of, and like you know a house. That's it.
House.
What?
You also get a house. You get flowers and then also
get,
a house.
You get a house, but it's you know to be in a state to be in your grief, but like that's not. Who cares about a house? Who cares about a house all to yourself where you don't have to see horseshoes or frogs or like whatever, you know, and you can just...
Oh, but you'd like to see frogs, though, because those are fun and interesting, right?
Oh, I would love to see frogs so much.
I can go upstairs and get some. I'll be right back.
Oh, God, Jesus.
Whoa, Arnie, you can see her swallowing vomit. That's real love.
No, it's just the ripples in the veil. It's just the ripples in the veil. Sure. Oh, God.
How many judges are there for the competition? Because maybe, look, I'm just going to be honest with you. You don't want to spend too much time on Isidore. He's real into those frogs.
Well, just between, there's 10 judges.
Oh.
And Isidore is the 10th one I don't want to say tracked down. Who wants to say that?
Just ran into. You just happened to run into.
Oh, that I've happened to run into. And, you know, it's a 10 panel of judges for the Widow Contest. We call them the Widow Masters. Or the Black Widows. You know, they're like, you know, they're not, they're kind of a team, but they're sort of all the hot one on the team, the Black Widows.
So wait, 9 so far? Have you given each of them like a Widow's Peak?
All of them a Widow's Peak. All of them. We just had a good conversation. Really, I'm just saying, We had a good conversation. Widow's Peak, like you know, we were.
Here's a bunch of them.
Hello.
Now, a lot of these are just common green frogs, but it's really interesting because their eyes are set apart at different distances. Mm-hmm. Let me show you some of my favorite ones. This one's pretty interesting because his eyes are very close together.
Yes, it's so charming how you kind of look like all of them. That's it's they do say people look like their pets, and you do. Oh wow!
I've never noticed it before. Isidore looks like a pile of frogs.
You kind of look like a pile of frogs.
Yes, not a single one.
Yeah.
Good God, no. A whole pile. And, oh, look, this one seems to be seeping something from...
This is my favorite one. I call him Woozy.
And I keep telling you, I swear to the goddesses that one is a prince.
I'm not gonna fucking kill him. Sorry. What?
Oh, what are you saying?
Oh, what?
You're not gonna kill him?
No, I'm not gonna...
Is that a spell? I'm not gonna kill him? I'm not gonna kill him.
I'm not gonna curl them. My head. I'm not gonna curl my widow bangs today under the veil. I'm not gonna curl.
I don't think the oozing one is a prince. I don't think the one wearing a crown making a kissy face is a prince either, because he wants it too bad. I think the one that looks sad and kind of sits in the corner of his jaw, kind of moping, I think that one's the prince, because he's like he's like, I don't wanna be a frog. I'm supposed to be a prince. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Can we just get more chicken? Can we get more chicken here?
More chicken. The widow's having vapors again.
You know what tastes like chicken?
Chicken? Alligator?
Frog legs.
What?
I keep telling you, frog is delicious.
But my collection.
Let's cook 2 of them.
Come on. Well, I have a lot of common green ones, I suppose.
Whoa. This one's got something in its mouth. Just ate something on the table.
Let go.
A Judgigi tracking amulet. What's a Judgigi? J-U-D-G-E. Judgigi. J-U-D-G-E.
It's a trinket. It's a trinket that I stopped by the market and I thought it would look, you know, offset the veil.
Yeah, it's a very nice amulet. Here, yes. If this is yours, I'll go ahead and hand that back to you.
Yes, it's just it's for nothing.
So
you
can
know.
Track
Judigidges, which are of type of bird.
Oh, you love birds.
I love birds. I'm not familiar with Judicages. I'd love to meet one. I mean, there's so many birds.
Yeah, it's you know, it's got wings. It's one of those. It's got wings.
Oh, those are my favorite birds.
Amulet keeps pointing at Usador.
That's very flattering.
I think it's malfunctioning.
Can you tell your amulet that I'm very flattered, but not
talking
interested?
Here, you're not interested in.
The
amulet. My
amulet. It's very flattered that it's pointing right at me, but I'm just not interested at this time in the amulet. While I usually love a magical item, I just don't need to find a Judicacy right now. It's not important to me.
Yes, well, you know, I was just bird watching because, you know, it was one of Damien's favorite pastimes. That's why. And I do miss him so much.
Oh, now, my gosh. We have to assume she's crying under there.
Oh, my God, yes.
I could have sworn her husband had a different name before, but...
No, it's definitely. Definitely. Was that what I said?
I think so.
Yes, Damien. It was Damien. And, you know, I watch the Adjudicatees in his honour because I miss him so much because the grief is still so raw.
I'm so sorry. I was so far out of line. Please accept my apology and know for a fact that because of your wonderful demeanor and your kindness, I can't imagine that in my mind you are not the forerunner for this year's most eligible widow.
Oh, fucking thank God. All right.
Wow, your whole demeanor just changed. Yeah, really, just like really relaxed.
She's actively packing all her stuff up right now.
You know what? It's just that the grief when the grief comes and goes, and it's really it's taking me right now.
Don't kick a frog. Lovely. Why'd you kick the frog?
Oh, did I? Poor little thing.
Oh, they're jumping at her foot. Maybe
security knife.
No, my frog.
Wow. How did she manage to stab 7 frogs at once? Or 6 to 7, really?
You know, it's just a reflex action because Bob was Swiss expert swordsman. Bob is an expert swordsman.
Bob?
Yes, Bob. My late husband, Bob.
I swear to the goddesses you said a different name before.
Yeah, that is...
I'm 1,000% sure it was and has always been Bob.
We should trust the widow, a grieving widow, guys.
The grief drives me mad sometimes, and I mix up the names of my most recent husband, who, you know, I loved Timothy. Loved him. loved him like, you know, apparently a frog loves to puke up. Before I go, I will... Do any of you happen to have the contact information of... that studly young bartender at the bar.
Oh yes, of course. All you have to do is, you could just walk up to him at the bar, but I know that he lives one house over on the top floor.
Okay, I've been looking for a new grief counselor. So,
sure.
And he really has the deltoids for it.
Is that an important part of grief counseling?
Yes, because you see, they say that grief lives in the body. It's not, you know, it's not just a mental thing. It's in the body. So the best way to get it out is to find another body. Then you just go at it and you knock all the grief out.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
And it doesn't have to be one body. You know, I'm talking.
Yes.
Oh, onesomes, yeah. Twosomes,
sure.
Threesomes.
Bang that grief right out.
I can go on, shall I?
Group counts.
Yeah. Fivesomes. Sixsomes.
Oh, she shall.
Sevensomes.
So if we hear any moaning or groaning tonight from the house next door, second story, we should
grief.
Just assume that
this
is
of
grief counseling.
The sounds counseling. Of grief. A devil sevensome. Cool. That's when there's 7 of you, but one person is trying to summon the devil, and you have to rip yourself apart from whatever delightful thing you're doing and stop them before it happens. But sometimes it's like, it's kind of, it's more fun because you know they are, you know that the metaphysical rift could open.
Sure.
Yeah. At any moment. So in short, grief.
Understood, understood. Yeah. We shall leave you to your grief. And I look forward to the day, even though you've secured my vote, that we shall sit and drink wine together.
Yeah, whatever. What's your name again?
Usador.
Okay, right. Bye.
Wait, what?
Yeah. That's a winner. That's a winner there.
So charming, yet I can't help but feeling I somehow got tricked there or fooled, but I suppose that's only me being suspicious and old-fashioned in my ways. I must have a more open mind. That is my goal. For even though I am a great wizard, I am steeped in where I come from. And sometimes our culture is not as forgiving as it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's a little drink here. It looks like she left for you. Poisson.
I'm more into frogs than fish right now. I'll just save that for later.
Okay. Yeah.
My main takeaway from all that is when she mentioned one of her late husbands being called Timothy. I thought, now there's a name of unspeakable sexuality and power. Usador the Wizard was played by Matt Young. Chunt the Talking Badger was played by Adol Rafai. Lady Dowager was played by special guest Pratima Mani. Pratima writes for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and you can catch her doing stand-up around New York City. Hello from the Magic Tavern is an independent production, made possible by supporters of the Magic Tavern Patreon. Patrons get ad-free episodes, all the spin-offs, and at least 2 new bonus episodes each month. To learn more about supporting the show, visit patreon.com/magictavern. Hello from the Magic Tavern is produced by Arnie Niekamp, Matt Young, and Adol Rafai. Post-production coordination by Garrett Schultz. Associate producer Anna Haverman. This episode edited by Anna Haverman. Hello from the Magic Tavern logo by Allard Leban. Magic Tavern theme by Andy Poland.